This is tape number 4299. Derek Prince speaks on the subject, "And Then the End Shall Come." This message is entitled, "Watchman, What of the Night?"
This is the third session in a series of four sessions on the theme, "And Then the End Shall Come," which is a kind of overview of the events that will lead up to the close of the present age. The first session was called "Ignore It at Your Peril," and its theme was that we desperately need the light of biblical prophecy. The Apostle Peter calls it a light that shines in a dark place, and he says we need to give heed to it. And I think there are many problems in the church today which come because people have ignored that advice from Peter. And then the second session was what I call the spine of biblical prophecy. I explained briefly that putting the prophetic revelation together is like assembling a human body. And in order to get the body rightly related in its parts, you have to begin with the spine. And I suggested to you that the spine is the great discourse of the greatest of all prophets, the Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave on the Mount of Olives just a few days before his passion. And it's recorded for us in three Gospels, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. And in the introduction to it, in Matthew 24, Jesus seeks to answer two questions, or Jesus is asked two questions. The two questions are, what will be the sign of your coming, and what will be the sign when the temple is about to be destroyed? And we saw that the answer to the question when the temple is about to be destroyed is given in Luke 21, and the sign is when Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, then the destruction of it is near, which was fulfilled historically in AD 70. The answer to the second question, what will be the sign of your coming, is given in Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. That's a specific answer to a specific question. Now, in this talk now, I want to deal with some features of the end time, certain trends that are being more and more manifested. And I've called it "Watchman, What of the Night?" And I'm going to start from the scripture where those words are found, which is in Isaiah chapter 21, verses 11 and 12. And I'm only going to read part of it. "He calls to me out of Seir, 'Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night?'" The picture is of a watchman on duty, keeping watch at night while most people are sleeping. Then the watchman's answer is, "The morning comes and also the night." That's my theme. The morning comes and also the night. Light is coming, but also darkness. We cannot anticipate light only or darkness only, but the two in interrelationship. And I think this really helps to resolve a lot of problems. I think Christians find it difficult to enlarge their minds enough to take in two opposite sides of one question. And we tend to get committed either to one side or to the other. Like, some of us believe in predestination, some of us believe in free will. The truth of the matter is, if you believe the Bible, you have to believe both, because they're both clearly stated there. But Christians tend to get set in one side. Well, I believe in free will, I believe in predestination, you're wrong, I'm right. And I have a feeling that where sincere, intelligent, Bible-believing Christians disagree with one another about biblical issues, very often, not necessarily always, very often, each party is partly right and partly wrong. And the truth lies somewhere in combining the two. You see, with regard to the end of the age or the last days, there are basically two different groups. There's the pessimists and the optimists. The pessimists say everything is getting worse, and they've got a whole lot of scriptures to prove it. The optimists say we're going to take over the world, and they've got a lot of scriptures. Personally, I believe neither is right and neither is wrong. There's the truth is in between. It's a combination of both. I remember years ago I was preaching in the United States on the importance of praying for your government. And at that time, American Christians were anti-government. I mean, they regarded the government as an enemy. One man actually said to me, well, that's like asking us to pray for our enemies. But at the end of one session, a lady came up to me and she said, Mr. Prince, doesn't the Bible teach that everything's going to get worse? So I said, well, no, I don't think so. I think the Bible teaches some things are going to get worse and some things are going to get better. And I'm one of the things that's going to get better. So this is my thought, and I'm going to give you a number of different illustrations of this one principle from different passages in the Bible. But I want you to grasp what I'm trying to communicate, that it's not going to be all light, it's not going to be all darkness, it's not going to be all glory, but nor is it going to be all misery. And we've got to adjust our thinking and prepare ourselves for this, what I would call in a way, mixed up situation. It's not that simple. Now I'll give you a number of different ways of seeing this truth. First of all, in Isaiah, I'm trying hard to say Isaiah, but it took me years to learn to say Isaiah, and it's pretty sort of discouraging to have to go back to. Anyhow, in the prophet who's spelled I-S-A-I-A-H, chapter 60, we have this glorious statement, and it's addressed in Hebrew. There's feminine and masculine in the verbs. This is feminine. It's addressed to Zion, the city of God, to the people of God. I believe Zion is the most all-inclusive name in the Bible for all God's covenant people. I believe it includes Israel, it includes the church, all of us, from our different perspectives, come under the label of Zion. So it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles or the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Here is a very clear presentation of both brilliant light and gross darkness. In the midst of the darkness, the glory of God comes upon his covenant people, and they become a source of light that attracts many to come out of the darkness. And the scripture says, nations will come to your light, and their rulers to the brightness of your rising. I believe it's going to be that way. I believe God is going so to visit his church with his glory and his power that whole nations are going to turn to God. I believe that's good. But it doesn't alter the fact that it's in the midst of dense darkness. And those who do not come to the light will be in ever deepening darkness. Both are true. I quoted the other day, but I want to do it again, Genesis 15, verse 5. I had a revelation of this. Sometimes, you know, preachers get revelations while they're preaching. And I was preaching in a church of which I was supposed to be the pastor in Seattle, Washington. And my theme, I just tell you this little story, because God has his way of doing things. My theme was, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, it was in the old days when they were just beginning to record preachers on reel-to-reel tape. And I didn't know it, but somebody was recording me, and that's how I know what I said. I listened to it afterwards. And I was saying, no matter what the devil does, the Lord has the last word. And I want to tell you, if you preach that, you better be prepared to back it up. And then I got this revelation. I said, Egypt had its magicians, God had his Moses. Baal had his prophets, God had his Elijah. And then I quoted this scripture in Genesis 15:5, and I'd never thought about it before. God took Abraham outside on a dark night and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now in Galatians 3:29, Paul says, through faith in Jesus, the seed of Abraham, we are descendants of Abraham. And the picture there is a situation in which there is no other source of light. The sun is not shining, the moon is not shining. It's a velvet dark night, but the stars are there. And the greater the darkness, the brighter the stars, you see? And that's what we're supposed to be. As the darkness gets deeper, we should shine brighter against the darkness. And so I got to this point where I said, that's how it's going to be at the end of the age. When all the other lights go out, the descendants of Abraham, the believers in Jesus the Messiah, are going to shine brighter than they've ever shone before. Well, I can't go into the details, but I didn't anticipate. I learned that there are certain messages that the devil doesn't want preached. And the number one on his list is what the church can do to him if the church realizes what it's intended to be. And the devil couldn't stand this message any longer. So the young lady who played the piano for the worship, who was sitting on the front seat on my left, threw a demonic fit right in front of my pulpit. I mean, and it was not pretty. She was normally a very well-behaved young lady, Pentecostal from youth upwards. And she was there moaning, screaming, and writhing in a very unladylike position right in front of my pulpit. I had just declared, no matter what the devil does, God has the last word. So I knew, clearly, I had to either prove it or stop preaching it. Well, that's how I got thrust into public deliverance. I had no ambitions, no plans, but I was compelled to take a stand against that demon. And together with my first wife and another couple, we got that demon out of that girl. And I tell you, looking at my congregation after that was really, I mean, their eyes were just big round circles. They'd never imagined that such things could happen. And I can't tell you the rest of the story. There is a tape somewhere. It's in my series on deliverance and demonology. I think it's the first tape in this series. You hear the rest of the story. But what I'm trying to prove to you is that there's going to be dense darkness. But in the midst of the darkness, God's people should shine brighter than they've ever shone before. And when the enemy does come in like a flood, it really is true. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The same word that means lift up a standard means put him to flight. I like to say both. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard and put him to flight. Now in Daniel chapter 12, there's a prophecy about the end time, and the same principle is brought out. I hope you understand I'm taking a lot of different examples of this principle to show you that it runs all through the Bible. In Daniel 12, the first three verses, the prophetic word says, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince or the great archangel who stands over the sons of your people. That's Israel. So there is one archangel who's specifically assigned to watch over Israel. And I think at the moment, if I may say so, he has his hands full. But he's doing his job. And I personally wouldn't want to clash with the archangel Michael. No matter what my political views were, I just would not like to get on the wrong side of Michael. Anyhow, and says then, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. This, I believe, is what we looked at last night in Matthew 24, the time of tribulation without parallel in previous human history. And it's first of all Jacob's trouble, then it's a universal worldwide tribulation. Because I pointed out last night, if you remember, that tribulation and anguish come on the Jew first and then on the Gentile. So as non-Jews, of which I am an example, we need to be very perceptive of what's happening to Israel, because the next thing that's going to happen is it's going to happen to us. You see, if I give an example, terrorism really began in Israel. It was just an attack against Israel. Today, the whole world is reeling under the impact of terrorism. So that's the principle. Anyhow, going on in this situation, verse 2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Notice again the same principle, the deeper the darkness, the brighter God's servants will be shining. Can you say amen to that? All right, you see, that's the darkness, but it's the light.